Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Yep, always good to be here on Sunday night, studying God's Word. And
amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
And especially here in this Advent season.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, we are doing some shows about what I like to call the first Advent, because now we're in the second Advent. And we can do some shows about that, too. And if Jesus comes back while the show's on, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
And then we won't have to do any more Advent shows.
We have to finish the show if he comes back.
But anyway, Advent, of course, in most of the mainline Christian churches is the time of waiting before Christmas to contemplate the birth of Messiah and to look forward to his coming. And
Right. It's
traditionally been a time where you examine yourself and you prepare yourself. And it's really a time to see where you stand in the scheme of God's plan and
Right. What
an awesome gift salvation in the Messiah is.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that in order for the sacrifice of Yeshua, Jesus on the cross to have occurred, he had to be actually born first
Right. As
a human being. And although he existed as the second person of the Trinity forever, before that, and there was not a time where he did not exist, where, you know, we look forward to the time where he's born as a baby who is Jesus of Nazareth and starts his plan on the way to salvation.
Right. Right. And, you know, the other aspect of Advent that we've talked about is that it's not just about reflecting on the first coming of Christ, but it's also anticipating or being ready for the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
which could be at any time.
Be at any time. So there's a lot in Scripture that Jesus talks about being ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John the Baptist was a herald in the wilderness, crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. And he was to make ready a people fit for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
For the coming of Messiah.
Yeah. He's a very interesting character because
I love his
diet. He really ties together the Old Testament, New Testament, and, you know, he's, I could have listened to him forever, except I wouldn't have wanted to have lunch with him. But, I know everybody's sick of that joke, but next week we're going to
laugh at
next week we're going to talk about him because he's such an amazing guy and he ties together the two covenants because he's Elijah-like. He's the last of the Nazarites, but he proclaims Messiah who he can see right in front of him. In fact, he's related to him. They were some type of cousin.
Yes.
We'll find out in heaven exactly what the relationship was, but I guess their mothers were cousins. Or at least they were kinspeople.
Mm-hmm.
Some translations say cousins and some translations say kinspeople.
Same tribe.
So anyway, but today we're going to talk about Isaiah because Isaiah, how can you ever stop talking about Isaiah? He has, just so much stuff that we went through about how Gentiles will be included in the kingdom and how Messiah comes to bring Gentiles into the kingdom. And the show we did last week, which was also from Isaiah chapter 2, about people from all nations streaming up the mountain of the Lord. And the mountain is set above all the other mountains, all the other world systems, all the idolatry of the world, all the crazy behavior and sin nature of the world. And along with that, Isaiah has a lot of things prefiguring who Jesus of Nazareth is going to be in his physical manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk today, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 11. We'll give you time to either flip or click to it. And we're going to have Steve read Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 10.
Okay. But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide, but he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide fairly for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall graze, together their young shall lie down. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the viper's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. They shall not harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord, as water covers the sea. As water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the peoples, him the nations will seek out. His dwelling shall be glorious.
Ooh. Wow. So he's talking about a lot of stuff here.
A lot of stuff.
I mean, first of all, we're talking about the root of Jesse. You know, in a lot of places, you may have heard, your church may have what's called an Advent calendar. It's sometimes even called the Jesse calendar. Mm-hmm. So Jesse, of course, is King David's father. So one of Messiah's titles is the son of David. Mm-hmm. Jesus was, in fact, the son of David, biologically related. And Mary and Joseph were both descended from David. And their genealogies are in Matthew and in Luke. So the root of the family was Jesse, who was King David's father. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty neat because he says out of Jesse is going to come this little root. It's not even like a big branch. It's not even like a big tree.
A shoot.
It's a shoot that's going to come out of Jesse. And, you know, in another place, you know, he's talking about how a child is born and a son is given in Isaiah chapter 10. So this is all going to come from the root of Jesse. And also in chapter 10, we're not going to do chapter 10, but I'm just mentioning it. It says that, everyone's yoke is going to be smashed when this person arrives, when the root of that comes from Jesse is going to arrive. And now we're going to find out who this is, and that's who with a capital W, who's actually going to do this. It comes from the house of David. You know, we talked about a couple of shows, or maybe last time, I think it was last week, in 2 Samuel, God tells David, I'm going to build you a house. It's going to last forever. Someone's going to come from you. In fact, he says, from your loins, which means from David's genetic material, someone is going to come who's going to be ruler in Israel. It's not going to be a figurehead. It's not going to be somebody who is going to say they're the son of David. They're actually going to be your son. And they're going to rule over Israel. And his throne is going to last forever. And this person, who, of course, he's talking about Messiah, is going to rule the whole universe from the throne of David. And it says, you know, in another place it says, a shepherd is going to come. Peter mentions this in his famous sermon on Pentecost. And if you listen to this show long enough, you hear us talk about Peter's first great sermon.
Before, once in a while we mention that.
Yeah, once in a while. Because before that, you know, he was kind of bumbling around. Then he preached this really awesome sermon. And, you know, he points to the fact that Jesus came from the lineage of David. And people are amazed by this. And at the same time, you know, he also says, well, you know, David's tomb is here, but Jesus has risen out of his tomb. Just like last time, a couple of shows ago, we talked about how the Pharisees asked Jesus, whose son is the Christ? Whose son is the Messiah? And when they said, or he asked them, and then they said, David's son.
Right.
Then he said, well, if David calls him Lord, how can he be David's son? So then they didn't know what to say.
Right.
They were pretty perplexed by that. But he is, in fact, David's son. And this small shoot that was going to come from the root of Jesse was going to sit on that throne. Now, when David was king, and then, of course, Solomon, his son, became king, and then everything got messed up after that, there was a royal lineage of David that went on until the exile to Babylon in 586 BC. Then there were no more kings. And by the time of Jesus' birth, the house of David was pretty obscure. You know, Joseph and Mary were living in some little place, and Joseph was trying to make a living, and, you know, he didn't, you know, he was just doing work in his shop.
In Nazareth, yeah.
Nazareth, and we don't hear much about anything else about the people living in Bethlehem, which was David's city. They were poor. And this is where Messiah, this is what Messiah is born into. Even though he's the son of David, and he's in the lineage, you know, as the angels say at Bethlehem, he's in the house and lineage of David. He's born into this glorious royal family, but at this point, the family is kind of poor and obscure. And, you know, it shows how he's born into a place of humility and submission.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the other, as you're laying the foundation of what we're going to talk about today, when you, if you're a farmer, or if you plant any type of tree or shrub, or you prune any of your landscaping around your yard, you can understand this image of a shoot or a bud and how small that is compared to, you know, a tree, let's say.
Yes.
And, you know, there's the stump. Like if you cut down a tree and the roots are still healthy, and there'll be a shoot that'll sprout out of that stump. But the roots are strong. You know, the roots are what give it all the nourishment and all the foundation. And so, you know, you can have this mighty oak tree, or, you know, whatever huge tree you want to picture, and it can be cut down, and if the roots are healthy, it can still grow. And that image is kind of what I see here with, you know, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom.
That's good.
That, you know, things were pretty desolate. You know, the land was overrun by the Babylonians, but yet God's promise remains. And God's promise is the root. So it's not done away with. And so this shoot, this bud that blossoms from this stump, is going to bring forth light into the world and salvation to mankind.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And Isaiah talks about how it's a little shoot. You know, it's a small, weak, like if you take a shoot coming out of a root, I mean, you can just take your hand and break it.
Yep.
It's a fragile thing.
Very fragile, yeah.
And it goes along with Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, being born in these humble circumstances, being submissive to, of course, his father, secondly, to his mother and his earthly father, being, you know, as he says, you know, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Right.
And this humility and weakness, this small branch can overcome all the powers of evil and can overcome all the powers in the world.
Right.
And eventually overcomes the Roman Empire, and eventually will overcome whatever's going on now.
Right.
Because although the world is a mess, eventually his kingdom is going to triumph over everything.
Mm-hmm. And that image of this, you know, how fragile that small bud or that small shoot is really important because, you know, if you have a small twig on a tree, a small branch that's growing, yeah, you can just break it right off. But if you let that branch grow for a few years, you can't just snap it anymore. You got to get a saw to cut it, you know. And if you let it grow, you know, even bigger, then you have to have, you know, you need something more to cut it off or to cut it down. But this branch that's gonna bud forth is for the salvation of Israel and also for the Gentiles.
Yeah, and it's going to be eventually the mountain that everybody's going to go up. And he kind of then goes into a very famous passage where he says, the Spirit of God is going to rest upon him. And we hear that again a little bit later in the book of Isaiah, who's my favorite major prophet. in verse six, in chapter 61, verse one, this is repeated, and it talks about how there's going to be, there's all these messianic things that are going to happen. The sick are going to be healed. The blind are going to get their sight. All these things are going to happen. And it talks about how this is the fullness of the Godhead is going to do this. So the Spirit's resting on human Jesus of Nazareth mm-hmm. because, of course, God always works in Trinity, and you can't say that the Trinity separates into all different things.
Right.
So the Spirit rests on him because this is the divine presence. And very early in his ministry, you know the story in Luke 4 where he goes to the synagogue of Nazareth, and he's, you know, the week before the leader of the synagogue said, hey, next Shabbat, would you like to do one of the readings? And Jesus said, sure, I like doing it. And so then it was his turn to read, and, you know, they read he read the passage from Isaiah, which mm-hmm. was what's called the Haftarah portion that week, then the cycle of readings.
Right.
And so it's customary in a synagogue after you do the reading to do a little brief commentary on what you read, which is called a drash. So that's why when he rolled up the scroll, it says all the eyes were fixed on him because they wanted to hear what this guy who seemed really smart was going to say.
Right.
And all he said was, well, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he left. And everybody said, what? Because what he's saying is, what Isaiah wrote is about me. What Isaiah wrote, that Messiah is going to have the Spirit of God resting on him and all these messianic events and happenings are going to take place, that was about me. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you that as many times as you guys have read this scripture portion, what Isaiah is talking about is me. And that's why they got a little upset, and they said, oh, wait a minute. We know who this guy is. We know where he lives. He lives down on the end of my street. He's like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean fulfilled in your hearing? So they got pretty upset about this. And, you know, it says there that he has all the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He's not going to be influenced by opinions of men and men, you know, in general, because he has a mission and he knows what his duty is going to be.
Right.
He's here as Savior, and then he's also going to be here as judge. And as it says there, you know, he's going to judge with righteousness. And he's going to have a rod from his mouth. And this is repeated again in Revelation 12:5.
Exactly.
And these are going to be true judgments. He's going to smash the nations with an iron rod. Ooh. Hear my favorite singer. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight, even so. Even so, even so, Yeshua God. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That was a nice announcement.
That was.
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was my niece, Julie Massey, who's done a couple of shows and is going to do a show probably in the next few weeks and maybe like right after the new year. And she is a Christian businesswoman who has a bookkeeping and accounting company. And if you go to our website, there's a link to it. It's called ecounting.biz, B-I-Z.
B-I-Z.
B-I-Z. Ecounting.biz. And she'll take care of you whether you're a Christian or not. But she'll take care of you with Christian principles. Well, we'll talk to her again pretty soon. But anyway, today we're talking about Isaiah, who probably never even had a bookkeeper.
Probably not. No. With all those chapters.
All those donations coming in.
All those chapters he wrote, he didn't have a bookkeeper or a secretary? Wow.
I wonder if he had a tax-exempt status.
I don't know.
Probably. But anyway, so he's going to judge, this Messiah he's talking about is going to judge with righteousness. There are going to be true judgments. You know, in the passage I talked about before the break, Revelation 12:5, that, you know, it's kind of pretty scary, you know. Messiah comes back on a horse, a two-edged sword in his from his mouth and an iron rod in his hand. There's blood on his cloak. And
shall we read it?
Oof, it sounds, yeah. Do you have it handy?
I do.
Go ahead.
I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. It had writing on both sides and was sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a mighty angel who proclaimed in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to examine it. I shed many tears because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to examine it. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, enabling him to open the scroll with its seven seals."
Hmm.
Then I saw standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and the elders of the Lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God sent out into the whole world. He came and received the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. When he took it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of the elders had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. They sang a new hymn, "Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to break open its seals, for you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priest for our God, and they will reign on earth." I looked again and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and glory and honor and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped.
Mm. Wow. Woo. Yeah, that's who we're talking about here. A little root that came out of the stump of David, the root of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. And I like verse 10. It says, you know, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse who will stand as a banner for the people."
Mm-hmm.
For the Gentiles will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. So, first of all, there is another reference to the Gentiles are going to seek him. You know, at the time Isaiah wrote that, that would have not made any sense to the Jewish people that were listening to him.
The Gentiles were going to seek him?
Now, why would the Gentiles be seeking the Messiah of Israel? That didn't make any sense. Why would the Gentiles even be concerned about the God of Israel? And it's another great prophecy. And, you know, God, of course, one of God's names is the God of the banners.
Right.
Adonai Nisei or Jehovah Nisei, the God of the banners. And if you remember, and Stephen remembers because he took my Torah class, and those of you who took my Torah class better remember that when the people were in the wilderness, well, Steve remembers, he wrote a whole paper on it, I think.
and he did, it was my term paper.
That's right. And he did very well on the final.
But I did ask for help.
One of the essay questions on the final was about the banners.
Yeah.
No, if you remember when the people in the wilderness, every tribe had a banner. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, and if you go to some synagogues and even some messianic synagogues, you'll see what the banners looked like. Each tribe had a symbol. And so that was so you could see where your kinsmen were camped out. So if you came into the camp, if you had gone to, you know, Walmart or something and you were coming home, you knew where your tribe was. And people went to where the banner was. Members of the tribe were drawn toward their banner.
Sounds like a Paul Wilbur concert.
Yeah. Woo! Wasn't that awesome? I'm still recovering from that one. But anyway. And here, you know, Isaiah talks about how he's going to stand as a banner for his people. Now, the banner means that people are going to come there because they know that's where they belong. Mm-hmm. You know, the cross is the banner.
Right.
His banner is over us is love, it says in the Song of Songs. But the banner is actually the cross. And people come from all over. As Jesus himself said, the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself.
Right.
And this, of course, is another reference to the bronze serpent. Mm-hmm. And when the cross was lifted up, because of that sacrifice, it's drawn men. Gentiles have started to seek him because of that. And people are gathered there, just like you would have been gathered under the banner of your tribe. Mm-hmm. So Gentiles will seek him. They're going to come to faith in the Jewish Messiah. He's going to reign over Gentiles too. And that's going to be the kingdom.
Exactly.
And he's going to be the banner.
Exactly. And, you know, as you're talking about how, you know, everyone's going to be drawn towards the Lord. You know, if we go back to the reading from Revelation, you notice they said that everyone on the earth and under the earth, mm-hmm. even those who aren't disciples of the Lord are going to proclaim that he is Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Everyone's going to do that.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to bow the knee.
Everybody's going to bow the knee. Cause in Revelation, you know what? In Revelation 5:13, it says, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out."
Mm,
all right. Creation's going to cry out.
Yes.
Whether you believe that he's the Lord or not.
That's right.
And, you know, in the season of Advent, this is why we examine ourselves to prepare our hearts and our homes for the coming of the Lord, for the second coming of the Lord. Just as the people in Israel were preparing themselves, as John the Baptist was preparing a people to be worthy for the first coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're watchful and we have to be ready. You know, Jesus says, if the owner of the house had known mm-hmm. what time this, you know, the thief was going to come, he wouldn't have robbed this house.
Right.
And we don't know the time of the Lord's return. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be ready and watchful.
Yeah. We talked about that with the vineyard, the mm-hmm. prophecy of the parable of the vineyard. When the owner comes back and finds the mess that's been made out of the vineyard, mm-hmm. what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And this is this concept of, there is a concept of judgment that he's going to judge with righteousness. And no one is going to be able to say that they were unjustly treated, because everybody is either going to get justice or grace.
Right.
But nobody's going to get injustice.
Right.
And when you, you know, as we were talking about, you know, every knee is going to bow, you know, mm-hmm. says in Philippians 3, every knee is going to bow. In fact, I think we did a show about this a while ago, but, you know, we're going to bow our knee willingly. Those that don't want anything to do with them are also going to bow their knee.
Right.
Because it's going to be across the board.
Right. And like you said, he's going to judge with righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be any injustice.
Yep.
When he judges.
Yep. Nobody's going to be able to say, hey, that's not fair. Because it's all going to be based on the law and righteousness. And then it says he's going to set up a banner for the nations. Nations means Gentiles. He's going to set up a banner for the Gentiles to come to. This is 700 and some years before the cross, Isaiah's writing this. He's going to set up a banner for the nations, and he's also going to assemble the outcasts of Israel. And he's going to gather together the dispersed of Judah from all the corners of the earth. Mm. We're seeing this happen literally in our lifetime,
yeah.
where the outcasts of Israel are regathering in the land,
yeah.
from all over the world. You know, Israel's established in 1948 after the horrible Holocaust mm-hmm. that the Nazis did. Mm-hmm. And people from Europe, people from the Middle East, people from Americas started to go back to the land.
Yeah.
People from Ethiopia have gone back to the land.
Yeah.
They just got the tribe of Manasseh back there from northern India.
Mm-hmm.
And these prophecies about the people being gathered, the outcasts of Israel being gathered back in the land, are coming true as we're living our regular lives.
Yeah.
And we're going about our business. And, you know, the fact that the Gentiles are going to seek him out is great, but so are the outcasts of Israel coming. So are the dispersed of Judah coming. You know, we're going to have that time that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11. Romans happens to be my favorite book, except maybe Hebrews. But anyway, it's in the top five.
We should do a show on your favorite book.
I know, but I won't be able to decide. But, you know, this whole thing about, you know, Israel will be saved, and so is going to come into the kingdom the way she was supposed to in the first place, right. and then everybody's going to be under his banner.
Right, right. Yeah, the kingdom of God is a big place, and it, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today, and when Jonah went to Nineveh,
mm-hmm.
and he was, you know, went proclaiming, you know, 40 days more and God's going to destroy the city. But then when the people of Nineveh repented, he was kind of all bummed out.
Yeah.
He was complaining, like, well, aren't you going to give them any punishment now?
When do we, like, call the fire down?
Yeah, when's the fire? And so he was really upset about this fact that he did this, and then, well, they all turned back to the Lord. There wasn't any need for the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we can get caught up into wanting to see the punishment rather than the salvation.
Yeah.
You know, we see one little thing that's wrong, we go, aha, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then if the person repents, well, you know, and that's not really what God had Messiah come to do.
Mm-hmm.
He came to reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
And draw people, even those we might not think might be in the kingdom. He draws people back to himself, and he makes a way for them through the blood of Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, so he's drawing the outcasts of Israel, all those who had been dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're, as you said, now they're coming back home.
Yeah.
Now they're coming back into the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this several weeks ago, where before the people of Israel, or before the Jewish people came back to that land, it was a howling wasteland, a desert.
Yeah.
And once they came back, it starts sprouting.
It's green.
there's a shoot that's sprouting.
That's right.
And it's green now.
And now they export more oranges than any place in the world.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
It used to be a desert.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It's remarkable. And what you were saying before, it always reminds me of, you know, we're all always happy to see the speck in our brother and sister's eye, but we don't see this big beam sticking out of our own eye.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better than that guy over there.
Exactly.
He's a wreck.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that is great about the season of Advent, that it helps us to refocus, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
That just as the people were anticipating the coming of Messiah in the time of Jesus, or up until the time of Jesus, even 700 years before that, as Isaiah was writing, you know, we have to be anticipating the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And encouraging our brothers and sisters in the Word to be ready and to be, you know, on watch.
Mm-hmm. And this even goes back to what are commonly called the promises to Abraham, the promises to the patriarchs. You know, the last promise is all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you.
Right.
Which was a pretty crazy thing to say to this old guy who was like 100 years old and just, you know, was going to have a son for the first time. Well, second time, but first time. But anyway, it's like, you know, how are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed through this old guy?
Yeah.
And it's because he has a very famous descendant. And of course, when it says the communities of the earth or the nations of the earth, that doesn't just mean the cities and villages in Israel. It means all over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
As Gentiles are going to be also coming into the kingdom. This is part of the promises that were made to the three patriarchs. And we always, you know, it's easy for us to bash the Pharisees all the time and, but, you know, those guys should have gotten this. I mean, this was all they did.
Yep.
They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to worry about anything except studying the scripture.
Yeah.
They should have sat back and said, you know, this is starting to make a lot of sense now what this guy Jesus is doing. But nope,
didn't get it.
So many prophecies, you know, in fact, in Psalm 72, you know, it says all nations will call him blessed. You know, that's pretty wild because they would have nobody living in Israel at the time of King David would have any concept of what was in the rest of the world and certainly wouldn't have any concept of the new world. So, you know, if you'd have gone back and said to King David, boy, you wrote this about all nations are going to call him blessed. You know, there's these guys in Bolivia that are worshiping the Lord and calling him blessed, he would just look at you like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
I didn't even know there was a Bolivia.
Right. But the prophecy spreads through the whole earth.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, in this Advent season, we need to think about these things.
Yeah. I think it's important. I was talking to a friend of mine last week and I was telling him how it's important for us to, when we're reading scripture, to really put ourselves in the place of the people that are what we're reading about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're reading the Old Testament, you really got to think back to whatever book you're in. Like we're talking about King David.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much knowledge do they have of the outside world around them outside of their village?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took
very little.
Days and days to travel a couple miles. Or, you know, maybe not days and days to travel a couple miles, but I mean, you could walk several miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like today where, you know, in 3 hours we can travel from, you know, Cleveland to Florida and, you know, be down in Jacksonville for our favorite Paul Wilbur concert.
Yeah. I can drive to Youngstown in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Less than an hour and a half.
Is there anything good that can come from Youngstown?
No.
Hey, careful.
A lot of good music.
So, if we put ourselves in the place of the people that are writing or what they're talking about and what their situation is in that time and take ourselves out of our current situation of having all this technology and, you know, we can see things around the world in an instant, it's a very different world and it's a very different understanding, of where they're at and how they view the world and how they see the world.
Yeah. And that's what makes even it more interesting what these prophets said about things that would apply to people all over the
right.
world. That's another break.
Yes.
Oh, this is good, too. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You can find lots of stuff there. We'll be right back.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, last part of the show already.
I know.
Whew.
It always goes by so fast.
It does. And I always have, like, so much to say. That's what I'm known
for. That's why we never run out of shows.
That's right. That's what I'm known for. So one more thing about Gentiles. In Romans chapter 15, I love the book of Romans. But in Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 8, it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." Woo. So in Romans 15, Paul's talking about how the Gentiles are going to glorify God for his mercy. Now, he's writing to people that are Gentiles. He's writing to the churches. So he's reminding them that these quotes are from the Psalms. which were written 1,000 years before this.
Yeah.
He says, the Gentiles are going to glorify God for his mercy. He says, I'm going to confess you, capital Y, among the Gentiles. You know, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.
Yeah.
So we get to rejoice with Israel in the Jewish Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. So we come into the kingdom. This is why Stephen and I are really hepped up on the one new man concept, because the wall of partition has been broken down.
Exactly.
And that's why I love the song Baruch Adonai.
Baruch Adonai. Who sings
Steve
that?
Steve sing it. Isn't Paul Wilbur sings it. Joel Chernoff wrote it. Steve sings it too. It's so cool because it says, you know, the nations are going to praise and worship and whatever.
Yeah.
And Israel's going to say amen.
We'll have to play that next week.
Finally, everybody's going to come into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And this is what we're waiting for.
And it's going to be one new man worshiping, you know, Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Whew.
Because the blood of Messiah not only redeems the nation of Israel,
mm-hmm.
redeems the Gentiles,
amen.
All the nations. Nothing else brings us into the kingdom of God except the blood of Messiah.
Yep.
And, you know, it's important to know who we are in Christ. Because if I don't understand who I am as an adopted son or daughter of God,
mm-hmm.
I can tend to lose focus and direction and purpose mm-hmm. of who I am and what God's created me for.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because if I focus on the wrong things, and I focus on myself and other things that people are doing, not that you don't want to observe things, but I have to act like an heir to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
At least I should try.
Yeah. Man, you're an adopted son.
I'm an adopted son. If I keep on acting like a rebellious slave, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? You know? Somebody's paid my debt. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And if I keep on acting like a rebellious slave, how am I entering into the inheritance that God has prepared for me through his blood? So it's a very important question that I think we ask ourselves, no matter what your status or course, you know, situation in life, is where am I at in my relationship with God?
Yeah.
And who am I?
Yeah.
In God, in Christ. Who am I in Jesus Christ?
Wow.
Because you got to answer that question. It has to permeate you.
Everybody has to answer that question.
Everybody. For themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Your uncle can't answer it for you.
Amen.
You know, your brother or sister can't answer it for you.
Yeah.
You have to wrestle with that. You have to come to terms with that, because if you don't, how can you grow in your relationship if you don't understand it? You know
the old saying, God doesn't have grandchildren. Everybody's got to come.
Yep, exactly.
And you can't come through somebody else. I can't go to the cross for Steve. I can pray for him. You know, you can pray for somebody,
mm-hmm.
but you can't go to the cross and say, oh, I'm here representing Steve. So, you know, save him, even though he's way over there.
Right.
He's got to come.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the 10 lepers, you know, 10 were cleansed and only one came back to give glory to God. Where are the other 9 at?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, you know, in this Advent season, and, you know, we talk sometimes about, you know, when we talked about divisions in the body and bickering between churches and denominations and things. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing about Christmas and Constantine and all this other stuff. I mean, forget that.
Yeah.
The issue is Messiah was born.
Yeah.
And if Jesus of Nazareth was not born, you can't have the God-man.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a human person, a human man who's descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and so forth, you can't have a Messiah. The plan of salvation cannot be fulfilled. The king who sits on the throne of David wouldn't be sitting on the throne of David if he wasn't human,
right.
Jesus of Nazareth, plus the divine second person of the Trinity. And that God-man, who's the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles, is the Messiah.
Right.
He's the Mashiach, whatever you want to call him. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Right. And he at one point was physically born.
Right.
And he was born of a woman, born under the law, born in a place, just like every other human baby is born.
Yeah.
He didn't just pop into existence.
Right. Exactly. And if he, and if, you know, if Jesus never came, then we're still in our sins.
Exactly.
So instead of being joyful that we have new life in Christ,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we get back onto the division train and what, we want to take it for one more lap, you know, one more trip around the track. But it, you know, it's really important that we recognize that Jesus was born, and what we're celebrating is the birth, the greatest event in human history.
Yeah.
The God man was born and was he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then he was born of this lowly virgin.
Yes. Yeah.
This young girl.
Yeah. Another example of the humility and the humble beginning.
Who could have been stoned.
Yes, exactly.
Because she was pregnant without a husband.
Exactly.
And all these things we tend to forget. And in God's plan of salvation, he sent his son to reconcile us and to bring peace and to bring justice.
Woo.
And salvation.
Amen.
Because salvation belongs to our God.
Amen. Reminds me of a song.
Oh, anyway, there it is.
I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that during this Advent season, you would ask God who you are in the glory of his son, Jesus Christ. Because he has purchased you at the price of his own blood to be an adopted child, a son and daughter of God the Most High. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.